All right, the PGA Tour continues, coming off an incredible U.S. Open at Torrey Pines. They fly across the country. They're at the Travelers this week down in Connecticut. Great field. Really cool course. We got to make some picks. We got to do that tomorrow. And I think we'll be fighting over our next guest. Who's going to get him? You take
him. He's always my guy.
He's always your guy. You always take Mackenzie Hughes. I take Corey Connors. And Mackenzie Hughes just had an incredible weekend down at Torrey Pines. And as he gets set up for the Travelers this week, he's been nice enough to join us. And here he is back on Overdrive, Mackenzie Hughes. What's happening, Mackenzie?
Not too much, boys. What's the good word?
Well, we're feeling good about your game, man, and the whole scene. I mean, it was obviously not, you know, the Sunday you were necessarily looking for, but you've had a chance to sleep on this a couple of nights. How do you think you'll look back on the U.S. Open?
Yeah, I mean, my first, initial reaction is disappointment. I went to bed Saturday night, seeing myself hosting the trophy, and that was the way the day was going to go, and unfortunately didn't get that result. But as a whole, it's a positive experience. From everything, I kind of came into the week with not my best form over the last month, and was able to put some nice golf together, and playing the final group of a major just gives you some incredible experience that I didn't really have before. So again, I really wanted that one, and felt like I was ready to do it. But I look back on it with tons of positives to take away, and the next time I'm there, I'll be better for it.
We talk about it a lot, Mackenzie. Learning experiences, whether it's actually a croc or with team sports or individual sports. Like, if you could fast forward to, let's say, the British, and you're in the final group, what could you take away from the U.S. Open where you could stand on the first tee and say, okay, I remember that feeling, or I remember that experience? Like, what exactly do you think, is when athletes say that it's a learning experience, what do you think you learned?
Well, I think that, in that setting, you don't get, you don't get a mulligan. You don't get a second chance. So I think that, a couple times in that final round, I wish I had just been a hair more committed to what I was trying to do. Sometimes it's easy to get the mind going a little faster than it should. And I think that, fast forward to the final round of the British, and if I have a chance to win there, I mean, that would be something I'd tell myself, is that I don't care what happens. I'm just going to be 100% committed to whatever I'm doing, and have no regrets in that regard, because it just takes one little small error, and all of a sudden your ball is stuck in a tree, and you're wondering what that happened. So
can you take us through that? Like, what kind of gong show that was? I mean, I watched it over, and it didn't find out till later. It hit the ground and then back up in the tree, which is the ultimate screw job.
Yeah, I'm the first to admit that I hit a bad shot. Kind of got in between there. I was trying to cut a 5-iron and double crossed it, and then I knew right away, it was going left. And but in my head, I'm like, even if it's 20 yards left of the green, I'm like, the pin's all the way back right. I mean, I got a chance if it's somewhere on the grass over there, and I'm walking down there, and people are like, oh, it's in the tree. And I'm like, what do you mean it's in the tree? I mean, there's not even, like, a tree over there. I can't even picture a tree over there. So I'm like, what the heck are they talking about? And so I get up there, and everyone's looking up in the tree. I'm like, you got to be effing kidding me. Yeah. I mean, in my head, I'm thinking, like, I've played golf my entire life, and I've never had a ball stuck in a tree. I knew what I had to do. I knew what the next steps were. I knew it was going to be unplayable penalty shots and all that stuff. But I was pretty focused on what I had to do from that point on. But you're still kind of thinking to yourself, man, like, really, the back nine of the U.S. Open, I'm trying to win a major, and you get this kind of break. And it's tough. It's tough to handle. But that's the way it goes sometimes. And hopefully next time I get the right bounce.
Well, I guess that's the benefit of the Open Championship, Royal St. George. I don't think they have a tree anywhere on the course, so you don't have to worry about that. But
that's right.
Yeah, that's just wild, man. And we you and I were talking about this yesterday. Like, if there's a Canadian around there, are you waiting for a guy to climb the tree and grab that ball?
Why? There was a dude with a T-shirt with a Canadian flag on it. Why didn't somebody throw a shoe up there or shake the tree? Like, if it comes down on the ground, does that mean it's just in play and that's where it lies?
Yeah, I mean, if it had come down and it wasn't obvious that it was, like, intentional, like, if someone threw their shoe up there when the ball was stuck, I'm sure that it wouldn't have just been like, hey, play as lies. But... You know, if someone had, like, again, when it hit the ground and, like, it was bouncing back up towards the tree, if, like, someone had, you know, saw it and, like, blocked it or something like that, I mean, yeah, you would have just basically played it from where it was. So, unfortunately, it wasn't the Canadian Open, or else I would have had about 10,000 people jumping in front of that ball. So, bad break and unfortunate timing.
With Mackenzie Hughes, and we were relating your experience on the weekend to Mike Weir's experience at the 99 PGA Championship, where he was in the final pairing with Tiger, and he had a tough Sunday, but we know what happened to him 3.5 years later. You know, it was an inspiring moment. It was disappointing at the time, but it was inspiring for Mike, and before you knew it, he was a top 10 player in the world, winning a major championship, winning multiple tournaments. Could you see this being, you know, a leap forward for you? We know you're a grinder. You got a great game. You've been on the scene for quite some time, but this experience, could you picture yourself in the same kind of scenario that Mike Weir found himself in, disappointed in the moment, but inspired in the future?
Oh, 100%. Like I already crave to have that experience again. I loved being in that moment, despite not getting the result I wanted. And, you know, I've already had a couple conversations with Mike, about, his experience in that situation and how he used that, to be better going forward. And I just think that the experience I had there, I know it's talked about a lot in sports when you kind of don't get what you want and you call it an experience, but I really believe that, I gained, I would say, years of experience just by playing in that one round in the final group there. And just to know that my game, can put me in that spot, gives you a ton of belief as well. I'll always be able to draw back on that when I play major championships and say, if I take care of my business, my game's good enough to beat these guys. So, yeah, tons to draw on. And, I hope to, again, follow in a path similar to Mike's. And, one day I do see myself hoisting one of those major trophies. And, whether it's next month at the British or it's in 5 years or 6 years, I don't know when it'll be. But, I'll keep working towards that goal.
You played a lot on tour. You've won on tour. Can you just describe when you pegged it up on Saturday in the last group, like how different that was than any other round you played? Or did you kind of feel normal? Just what was it like putting the tee in the ground on Sunday before you tipped it?
Yeah, I think it felt fairly normal. It just felt a little bit heightened. Like if I teed off, this Sunday in the final round of the Travelers, in the lead, I'm going to have a lot of the same feelings, right? You just understand the situation is a little bit heightened only with that, like, you win a major. I mean, people are coming to you now. I mean, you're on a whole different level entirely. If you win a major, not to say winning a PGA Tour event isn't a huge deal, but, we only have four of those major championships per year, and they really define the great players' careers. So I really felt, I'm not going to say normal, but I felt like, the same feelings I would have if I was trying to win a tournament, just a little bit heightened to that normal experience. But and that just mainly comes from knowing what that major comes with.
We're chatting with Mackenzie Hughes. He's setting up for the Travelers this week down in Connecticut. And I guess on the horizon, you're setting up for the Olympic Games as well. It was made official today. Yourself and Corey Connors will go to Tokyo representing Canada on the men's side.
What about a caddy?
Yeah, if you guys need one, are you throwing our names in the hat?
About me and Hayes caddy for you guys at the Olympics?
I'm going to need to see a resume first, but we'll consider it.
Okay. I don't see it getting past.
Can you imagine me and Hazy coming back in the fall with gold medals as caddies?
I love it. Do the caddies get gold medals? That's the question. I'm not sure the caddies would. You know, like, I don't know if they do.
I don't know if they do. I don't think so. So that'd be a tough one for you there, O-Dog. I mean, you put all that.
You wouldn't
get one? That'd be tough.
Just get us in the Olympic Village.
That's it.
We'd miss the Teton anyway. Like, we wouldn't make it, but we'd be there. We'd be in Tokyo somewhere, which is all that matters. And, I mean, it's going to be such a cool experience. It's going to be a different world over there. Clearly, you know, the Olympic Games and with COVID and all that kind of stuff. But yourself and Corey happily accepting that invitation. What do you expect that experience to be like? What are you hoping for outside of competing well? But the whole Olympic experience, what are you most looking forward to?
You know, that's a tough question because it's going to be an Olympics unlike any other. And, I've never been to one to begin with, but from hearing from past experiences and guys I know, I think the coolest part of the Olympic Games is the village and experiencing and watching the other events, which both are not happening. Like, so the golf course is so far away from the village that, you know, Corey and myself and I'm sure a number of the other golfers are staying at a hotel outside of the village that's much closer to the golf course. So there's just nothing for us to do in the village, and we can't really do a whole lot. So I'd say my answer to your question would have been I've been looking forward to watching the other events and being part of the Olympic Village, but that's not going to happen this year. So I guess my number one thing I'm looking forward to is standing on a podium and putting a medal around my neck.
Well, we certainly hope that that is the case. You know, all of Canada will be behind you, and the O-Dog and I can be there if need be. We'll start quarantine. We'll fly there today. We can do the show from Tokyo, no problem.
Yeah, we will.
We can make that work. But good luck down at the Travelers. I mean, this is a quick turnaround coast to coast. And we were wondering about this earlier, Mackenzie, because it's a great field coming off the Open. Like, what is it about the Travelers that leads to so many guys on tour, you know, willing to pack up post-U.S. Open, fly across the country, and be a part of this grouping and a part of this tournament this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, they do such a good job of they treat the players so well. I mean, there's a charter. They sent a charter for San Diego down to Hartford. So, you know, a bunch of the guys took advantage of that. You had up to, I think, you know, two or three seats for guests. So, like, families came on the charter. And they just do a great job of making us feel welcome. And just golf course is fun to play. It's a nice area. So there's just a million things they do. They do a great job with everything. There's not really a weakness of the events that I can think of. So guys just love coming here. Pre-COVID, it was one of like the most family-friendly events on tour, just as far as like activities and things to do. And it'll return to that, I'm sure, by next year. But just a cool event. I've always loved coming here. Love playing the course. So that's enough for me, and all the extra stuff is just a bonus on top of that.
Where'd you get the yardage book, the Leaf yardage book? I'm an alumni. I don't even have one of those. Is that specially made for you, or where'd you get that thing?
So, Jeff, you probably know. Do you know Jeff DeLine?
I played golf with him last week.
Yeah, we know Jeff. We're familiar with DeLine.
So DeLine gave me that. He had it made like probably 3 years ago for me. Knew I was a big Leafs guy, and he just wanted to make a book for me. He's like, hey. And so he got this company to make a yardage book for me, and I've rocked it ever since. And it's not hard. I mean, and I think it only costs like maybe $150 or $200, but like it's a nice leather, customized. You can make it how you want. Like mine says Mac on it.
You said the really, two words, really... Jeff DeLine, and that's all I'm going to look into to get one.
Well, I'll be sending you a Mets one now.
No.
Watch yourself. Yeah. It won't be the Leafs anymore.
He's down in New York now, so I don't know if you might have to twist his arm to get the Leafs one. But yeah, they're really cool, and I know Corey had rocked one for a while too. So yeah, the boys are well represented out here.
Love it. Well, yeah, it's got a lot of play on NBC, and you know, Leaf fans are all about that. Leaf fans are looking for some positivity, so if you can bring home a couple wins or be in contention, that is certainly a positive scene.
What are your thoughts on the playoffs, Mac? Like, what did you think of watching that?
Well, obviously, I was disappointed. I was really tired of looking at my Twitter yesterday and being like, everyone was like, oh, you know, he's a Leafs fan. It kind of explains his late round collapse yesterday because he's a Leafs fan. I was like, gosh, darn it. It's just the guys are so talented that this shouldn't happen the way it does. And you know, I think it's the last five seasons, first round exits. They're too good for that. It's frustrating to watch, and I'm sure it's way more frustrating for them. So I know that they're not happy with it, and I just hope that you know, kind of the right pieces are put in place. I think they need some toughness, and they need some skill on D. That number one D man that just, you know, shuts it down back home and just, you know, protects that blue line. And I just don't think we have all the pieces put together. But, I mean, you can't argue with the talent up front. It's just, you know, what we have is not getting it done. So something's, you know, we've got to add some pieces or change something up because it's not working right now.
Yep. You're talking Seth Jones is what you're talking about.
I like
about,
it. We're going to put you down. TSN, that's going to go viral. Mackenzie Hughes wants Seth Jones in Toronto. So I like
hey,
it.
If you're back in Ontario this summer, what about a round with me and Hazy? Let's set it up. Let's set it up.
Let's
18
it.
Holes.
Let's do it. Now, the border is about to open up, so I might be heading back hopefully sometime in August. So let's set it up.
Let's make it happen. We play the Whites up here, so be ready for that. And
I love the
Whites. We'll say something like that to a tour.
All right, we'll play the
such
tips.
Such a loser.
We'll
comment.
Play the tips, and I'll slash it around. That's what he wants, is to be playing with me from the tips. But we'll figure it out. Good luck this week and moving forward. Congrats on the Olympic nod as well. And we always appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, Mackenzie.
Thanks, boys. Enjoyed it. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it. There's Mackenzie Hughes, good Canadian boy, big Leaf fan.
I love how you guys are like, you're already like hitting him up for stuff. Where'd you get that book? Oh, let's get a free round. Like,
oh, yeah.
Guy just wants to come on the show and
imagine
talk.
Imagine we showed up in Tokyo with the caddy bibs on and we're like ready to go, boys. And they're just like, no, what?
Yeah, no, you're not allowed.
Get the hell out of here.
How'd you get here? Imagine they could totally prank us and give us the thumbs up. We get to Pearson and the bird's gone. Give us the wrong time. Just, you're not allowed.
Hey,
not
there's
happening.
Plenty of things to do in Japan. I lived there for 5 months? It is a great, great country.
It's just not going to feel the same. I think we're all waiting for that, aren't we? I mean, COVID and like he just said, it's not the same thing. The Olympic Village won't even be the same. But
yeah.
Anyway, shout out to Mackenzie Hughes. We appreciate him coming on.